T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
And it is Craig and Larry here on this bright and sunny Saturday. Temperature's going to be in the 70s. It is Memorial Day weekend. Not officially, but unofficially, the first weekend of summer. I guess officially June 21st. But the Bruins now, if you're keeping score at home, Larry, 83 hours away from the puck dropping at the TD Garden for game number one of the Stanley Cup Finals. And this has to be the longest, and I've not looked this up, and I'm sure people have. I can never remember, and it's been a long time since the Bruins obviously played their last game against Carolina. It seems like ancient history. Has there ever been this kind of interval between one series and the next while you're waiting for a team to play?
Well, the other problem is you're worried about, you know, a guy like Tuukka and stuff, and you're playing at the peak of your game, and the team is, and then all of a sudden you got this long layoff, so you come out and the first period, it's going to be kind of rough just getting. I know they had the scrimmage the other night, but still.
By the way, would you pony up your hard-earned cash to see an intra-squad game?
It was for charity, so, I mean, you can justify that. Right. I commend the Bruins for taking a tough situation and making something good out of it. And I tell you, they had a nice house, almost sold out. They had quite a house. And they only played 2 25-minute periods.
But how desperate are you, both as, I guess, a team and that fan base, that they've just been sitting here, waiting, speculating, analyzing, anticipating, and you'll do anything to watch the Bruins play any kind of game in any kind of scenario? And I just don't remember, and I'm sure someone can look this up, and maybe this has been pointed out, but this has to be the longest interval between series ever.
And a series starts on Memorial Day.
I mean, couldn't they have moved it up just a little bit? I mean, St. Louis dispatched San Jose in six. I mean, this is absolutely absurd.
See, I think, I think they've totally ruined the game of hockey. I know how you feel about fighting, and I like fighting, but I can go along with your opinion because, like you said, I don't want guys out there with brain damage or anything, so I can go along with that. But there is about 2% hitting in the whole game. I mean, they don't even, there's not Leo Boivin and people like that used to throw these serious body checks and the like. They don't even when the days of Warren Esposito and Sanderson, I mean,
The big bad Bruins.
Yeah, they had the, I forget what the percentage was you had, but they led the league or were second in fighting. And I mean, I can back off the fighting. I understand that now. But the hitting? So you just see two teams skating up and down the ice, and an occasional defenseman makes a mistake and turns the puck over, and they score. And this strategy and that line, but please don't sit here and tell me this is the same game we watched like 10 years ago. It's
so
just not.
Well, even further than that, but the number of penalties has dropped precipitously, and so is the number of fights. So you're not getting the game that, you know, back in the old days, you'd go to the Boston Garden, and that was a real working-class crowd.
Go to the Blades and Boards, and then
right.
Go down there to the game. This is the part that kills me, though. And even you can't dispute this, even though I know the fighting part. But the crowds, they loved it.
They absolutely loved it.
They loved it.
They were bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah, I am.
You like to foment violence. You're an Old Testament guy. You love the Bible. You loved it.
I like organized mayhem.
You do, which is actually a contradiction, what they call an oxymoron, but that's okay. You are a walking, living contradiction for all these 24 years we've worked together.
I'm sorry. You can hear from Bruins Carlos this morning. I enjoy the game. It's okay. I'm thrilled. What the Bruins are doing. This came out of nowhere. But then again, the playoff alignments are so screwed up when you get bounced out Tampa and Toronto and stuff. I mean, really. But still, St. Louis is a very good team.
Would you break it down right now? Because I don't know enough about St. Louis, and I was hoping maybe I could get a little education from you.
I love the name, the Blues. That's a great name. And they got one of the better uniforms in the league. They really do.
Well, still reigning number one in spite of their recent ineptitude.
Blackhawks
all time is still the greatest uniform.
Yeah, that red and white shirts are sweaters.
Even though it might be politically incorrect in certain circles to have a Native American on your uniform,
they don't really protest that much, do they?
No, because it's not a caricature.
Yeah.
Unlike Chief Wahoo, for instance, for the Cleveland Indians. Now, what about this? Because you're a design guy. You're an artist. You
I like the Bruins' black sweaters. I think that's sharp.
You don't like the white ones?
Okay.
You like the B and the hub. You know, when I first started watching the Bruins, I couldn't understand what that was. And, of course, it's the hub.
The spokes, yeah.
Yeah, the spokes, the hub. But the Bruins uniform, we don't care so much about
Blackhawks in St. Louis. That's a great name. They got one of the better names, too.
Well, you like the Blues. You like that note. The blue note. And, of course, that's where it all began back in the early part of the 20th century. Hard to believe that the St. Louis Blues have not been back to a Stanley Cup final since they got swept in three straight years. First two by Montreal in 68-69, and then, of course, quite famously by Bobby Orr in the Bruins. The iconic picture. I was just looking this up, Larry. I was surprised to learn that the Orr goal was voted the second most memorable event in the history of the National Hockey League. You got to be kidding me.
Well, it wasn't the goal itself. It was the aftermath of the goal.
Flying into the air?
2 seconds after the goal.
Right.
Flying in the air like that. Ray Luziak took that photo when I told you back in those days.
You at the Globe at that point?
Yeah.
It was 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the automatic cameras, the motor-driven shutters. So you could hold the cameraman and rattle off like 15 photographs in like 5 seconds. Bam, 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 bam. And the thing with him is he was with the Herald. And I know he didn't know what he had. And then, the day after, you're kind of going through your film and you say, wait a minute, what the heck is this? And that's why the day of the victory, they didn't have the photograph in the paper because they didn't know they had it.
You mean the day after the victory?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a Sunday
afternoon.
The day
of the victory, you had your typical photographs and stuff, but you didn't have that one.
Right. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was Mother's Day, May 10th, 1970. I remember exactly where I was. I had just finished a round of golf at my local country club. It wasn't the kind of country club that we have around here.
Were you any good then?
No, I was bad then, and I'm even worse now. And I remember watching that because in Connecticut, Larry, that was a really big weekend because in Connecticut, as you well know, we're split between Mass and New York. So you can go either way with your teams. So on Friday night was a big night in Connecticut. There were a lot of Knicks fans down in my stretch of the woods. Remember, the Celtics didn't make the playoffs there in 1970. On Friday night was the Willis-Reed game. Remember, Willis came limping onto the court, made his first two jump shots, and the Knicks routed the Lakers for their first championship ever. And then 2 days later, on Sunday afternoon, Bobby Orr in overtime against the Blues, flying in the air after the goal.
Was that the fourth game?
That was game four.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember this. The Blues were in three straight title games. Remember what they did back in 68? They expanded from 6 to 12. They put all the expansion teams out in the same conference, in the Western Conference. So the Blues were the best of a bad lot for three straight years. They got zipped by Montreal twice, and, of course, the Bruins did the same thing. And, you know, Ordway and Buckley used to have this argument all the time. Remember, Buck said that Ordway dismissed the goal as being unimportant. It was one of Bobby Orr's lesser important goals. And they used to argue with this about that all the time on the air. But if you really think about it, if Orr doesn't score that goal, are the Bruins going to either lose the game or the series?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
They were leading
3-0. But I think you're right. I think it was captured so brilliantly by the Globe photographer.
Harold,
excuse me.
Yeah.
That was the iconic moment.
Yeah.
It's the picture, not the goal so much.
It's the reaction.
And a lot of people who weren't there think that he was actually flying in the air, suspended off the ice when he scored the goal. No. Sanderson dug the puck out of the corner.
Out of the corner as he
centered it.
Did quite often.
And Bobby Orr, as a defenseman, happened to be, as he always was, right place, right time, deposited the puck in the net, and then celebrated the goal by leaping in the air. And a great moment.
Was he tripped?
A lot of people think he was, and if you look at the picture, it's really hard to tell.
No, you can't tell by the picture.
I saw it live, and I think there was a debate at one time whether or not he was tripped.
Yeah. Didn't matter.
No.
To him.
But it would have been uncharacteristic of Orr because Orr, as you well know, one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet. And I always said this, the quotient of nice guy to superstar for Bobby Orr is 1-to-1. He's as great a guy as he was a player.
Still is, hasn't changed.
Unbelievable.
You know, he was quite the fighter, too.
Well, you had to survive
he
in those days.
No, but I mean, he was, you know, some guys used to have protectors and people who they protect them.
Right.
On the ice, but Orr was quite a fighter.
Well, all I know is, and we used to have this debate all the time back in the early days of WEEI, a lot of historic discussions when we were just getting our sea legs, and I always said that the top four players in no particular order, and maybe you can give me the order, and I don't think it's changed since we had these discussions almost 30 years ago, it's Orr, it's Howe, it's Gretzky, and Lemieux, and I don't think it's changed since then. I don't think there's anybody. The last guy, of course, was Lemieux.
What about Bobby Hull?
Hull, probably not the two-way player. Certainly revolutionized the game with
the
slap shot.
He was the power.
And he had the slap shot.
He gave me a stick.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, you were one of those guys that kind of like hung around.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Didn't you meet like all the NBA and NHL stars back in those days?
No, it was really hockey. I used to go down all the time. And like you said, I went to the playoff games. And
now, did they have a black section for all the black hockey fans at the time?
Well, that would be
in the balcony.
That would be one, a seat of one,
right?
But I loved hockey, and you know, they were great guys.
Right.
My favorite Bruin story was the one when I always get them mixed up, Esposito and Hodge, but
they all look alike.
One of them was in the in Mass General, had the leg injury.
That was Esposito,
and they went upstairs and stole him. And the bed.
Took him right out of the room.
Out of the hospital.
Yeah.
And a Holiday Inn was right down the street. And they rolled him down the street.
Right. And you got to remember, and we say this all the time, this is before the Bruins finally broke through and won their first series since the early 40s. In the 1960s, you were there, Larry. You witnessed it. The Celtics were the dominant team in basketball. We all know Russell, 11 out of 13, including 8 straight. You'd walk into a Celtic game, even a playoff game, and plenty of good seats available.
Yeah.
Bruins, before Orr, last place, sold out.
Yeah.
It was a hockey town then. It's not so much, and this brings us to, finally, folks, to 2019. Is it the hockey town today that it was when Bobby Orr went flying through the air on Mother's Day 1970?
It is right now. I mean, I forget where I was driving yesterday. And I can't tell you the number of Bruin shirts I counted.
Yeah, you are seeing a lot, aren't you?
People, yeah, really. They came out of the woodwork.
Everybody loves a winner. Now, you can complain all you want about they're not as vicious as they used to be. They're not as violent as they used to be. But they're winning, and they're doing it in a lot of different ways. And all we ask for our entertainment pleasure is just win. And that's what the Bruins are doing. So you can say they'll never, and I will wholeheartedly agree with you, there will never be a more entertaining, exciting, satisfying, rewarding experience than watching the Orr and Esposito Bruins.
Oh, God.
As far as watching hockey. Now, they should have won a lot more.
Cashman with that left hand.
Yeah, they won two. 70-72, beat Rangers in that final in 72 after beating the Blues. That was a pretty good series, six games. But they lost to the Flyers in the finals. They got derailed that great year, 71, when Esposito set the scoring record by one Ken Dryden in the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, that was crazy.
That was nuts. But that was as lovable, likable, and just from,
you know
three or
funny?
Four lines.
You know what's funny? And you can comment on this better than I can, but to me, you go back 20 years or so with these guys, 30 or 25.
About 50 in this team, with the team we're talking about.
No, but you know what, though? And you used to hang around down there a lot with all the sports you did.
Yeah, back in the day.
To me, they had more fun then, to me. They really did. And I think the money has so overwhelmed the sports, all of them, that guys are far more interested in the money now than when they were back. I mean, when I used to go down to the Celtics and stuff, everybody wants to make more money, but they weren't as obsessed as they are now.
Well,
I don't think.
Well, the financial system was much different. It was all pre-free agency, as you well know. They were all subject to the whims and caprices of the owners, and a very few.
John Adams.
Yeah, didn't make a whole lot of money. You think about Russell made $101,000, because you know this story, because Wilt made $100,000.
Yeah.
Yaz was the highest paid player in the game because Yawkey loved him, treated him like a son. He was making $150,000.
Yeah.
Dick Raddatz talked about it all the time when we used to do the show on Sundays.
They didn't make anything.
Dick Raddatz, pre-Yaz, when Yaz was there,
he made about 35.
He made 40 a year. He was the highest paid player when he had those All-Star years as a closer in the lost years when they weren't winning and not going to the playoffs. Terrible teams. He was the best player on the team, and he still worked in the off season.
Yeah.
Now
they all did.
Yeah, of course
Heinzen
they did.
Sold insurance.
Right, but you know we know that horse has been out of the barn for almost 40-45 years now since free agency happened in baseball. This team, and I guess maybe this is my question, we've seen a lot of Bruins over the years, the Orr Esposito years, the 90s years. But don't forget, they went to the finals a couple of years against Edmonton, 88 and 90, with Milbury as the coach the second time around. They won a cup in 2011, went back, should have won a cup, perhaps, against the Blackhawks. Well, the Blackhawks were a better team in 2013. Where does this team stand? I guess we have to wait until the end of this.
You have to wait.
Yeah, we have to wait until the finals ends. Because 2013 was a year the Bruins lost to the Blackhawks. We all remember what happened at the end of Game 6. It looked as if they were going to go to a climactic Game 7 back to Chicago. Bruins had the lead about a minute to go, and the Hawks somehow or another scored two goals in 17 seconds, and the Bruins lost. But you know what? I don't know if you remember this or not, but there was very little hand-wringing, complaining. No one was bitter about
it. What else was going on?
2013? Yeah. Well, at the marathon, maybe the marathon bombing the month before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's our bleeping town. We all remember that. Red Sox were off to a great start. We didn't know at that point they were going to end up winning a World Series. But it almost felt as if in 2013, the Bruins fans accepted the fact that maybe the Blackhawks were a better team.
See, I think if the Bruins lose in this series, you'll find a little more outrage. Because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about the subjects and radio and all of that stuff. And
who would that friend be? You can say who it was.
Woodray. Yeah, I was talking to him for a little while.
Now, does Big O dominate a phone conversation the way he does poor Lou and Christian?
I tell him, shut up.
Because poor Lou and Christian almost have nothing to say. Ordway just hogs the microphone.
Yeah. No, but we were saying that it there's not a whole lot going on right now. There's not. So I think the biggest disappointment in this town, though, biggest by far, is Celtics.
Yeah, right.
That's just, and if the Bruins win, and you have the Red Sox winning the World Series, you have the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, and the Bruins, if they pull this off and win the Stanley Cup, man, do the Celtics take a precipitous drop.
Well, they already have.
Yeah.
And
they're last on the totem pole, by far.
No, I disagree with you.
You do?
I disagree. I still think this is where I wanted to go with this conversation.
Okay. Well,
and
good.
Thank you for
leading you there.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Just don't step on my feet.
don't dance. White men don't dance.
Really?
No.
You can't dance at all?
Not at all.
I won't mention the personality, but there was a personality here, and we went to Ordway's wedding, all of us, and out on the dance floor, if you had a gun, you would have shot him.
I don't seem to remember this. Why don't you want to...
Because I don't.
You want to...
It's not fair.
Expose this person to humiliation and embarrassment?
It's a serious humiliation and embarrassment.
Is this person... I'm going to take a guess. Is this person no longer with the station?
No, they're still with the station.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
He's white.
Would he be the whitest of all our white hosts?
No. Okay. Quite a few of them. Raditz was sitting at the table with us, and he said, oh, my gosh, he can't dance. Looked like he was having a seizure.
Now, I make no attempt. When I was in high school, I would dance to Color My World by Chicago or Crimson and Clover by Tommy James and the Shondells. Anything slow, I do the slow dance. But
you were one of those.
Get to any kind of...
Were you a good slow dancer?
No, I don't dance at all. I the last time I danced was at
my hip action.
I danced once at my wedding. Our wedding song. I danced with my bride, and that was it. And I got hell off the dance floor.
Did Pam ask you to dance any other time?
She did not, and she knows she danced with her friends the rest of the time.
Yeah,
she had a good time.
Did she leave at one of them?
No, I sat next to the bar, enjoyed an adult beverage or two on my. On my wedding day, and that was it. But anyway, where are we going with this whole thing? I was talking about the ranking of the teams.
Well, I was just saying that there's so little going on. We'll go over the teams.
No, but my point is, Larry, even with the Bruins' success, and you're right, you're starting to see a lot of Bruins sweaters. They're not uniforms, Larry. Remember in hockey,
there's
sweaters.
Yeah.
Okay. You're starting to see the Bruins.
I love the black sweaters.
Yeah, and remember, for years, the Bruins played in white at home and then black on the road,
right.
And
they switched that.
They switched it.
They all did that.
They're in the dark uniforms now, and I like that. But my point being, I still believe the Celtics, even with that huge disappointment against the Bucks, and look what's happened to the Bucks all of a sudden. They're imploding right before our very eyes.
You know what happens with them? You need two All-Stars.
Right, but let's not digress.
Why not?
Okay. I still believe that the Celtics, this sounds crazy. Right now, it's ludicrous to say it, but I still think the Celtics are slightly ahead of the Bruins.
I don't think so.
I do. I think there are more Celtic fans than Bruins fans.
Tuukka Rask has gained such
notoriety. As you just said, they got to close the deal.
Oh,
if they close the deal and get the parade, maybe they push ahead of the Celtics.
See, I argue the point. I don't think the Celtics are more popular. I think people are more angry with them.
But here's my point, going back to 13.
Yeah.
When the Bruins lost to the Blackhawks, people were not angry at all. Okay? The anger that's emanated from
the Celtics loss. You know, where the anger comes in is if you lose to an inferior opponent.
Good point. Now,
I think the Bruins with the Blackhawks, they didn't like the way it happened.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, a true sports fan knows whether or not your team is really that good.
And they were a juggernaut. I mean, remember, the Blackhawks had won a couple of Stanley Cup titles in the last several years. They were basically an all-star team. They had the uniform. They had the national following. People said, oh, well, too bad. Now,
they were one of my favorite teams, too. They had Tony Zero.
Well, they also had Phil.
The goalie.
Right.
The Blackhawks.
Right, but they had Tony and Phil on the same team at one point.
I don't remember him being with the Blackhawks.
He was. That's how he came to Boston.
Really?
Big trade in 67-68.
Wow. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, his original team was the Blackhawks, came aboard, and Orr was there in 66 as an 18-year-old rookie. Esposito came aboard. Then they started getting good. They still couldn't beat Montreal.
What a team they were, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Or would take that puck. For those who, you have to sit down with your kid and find video. Because
there's nothing more exciting.
They wouldn't believe
how
a defenseman
would
take the puck and not just go up the ice. He would circle behind the net and come out.
And back in the old days, at the old garden, that was only 191 by 82 or 83. Yeah. Wasn't a lot of room to operate back behind the net in the old garden.
He would make a couple of moves and go in on the goal. And that place, would you'd raise the roof off the place. Even the rats got excited.
And going back to my point, or how Gretzky, Lemieux. You could make a case, and we used to argue with this all the time, Orr might be the greatest of them all because he completely changed the role of the defenseman.
It was like Russell.
Russell came in, brought in defense to the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay. Suddenly became a defensive force, rim protector, extraordinaire.
Kyrie brought an attitude.
And Bobby Orr allowed blue liners to actually get off the blue line and play the whole ice. And no one, and he could just
Gretzky
carry a puck.
Gretzky was just an unbelievable scoring machine.
Yeah.
I don't know what...
Lemieux could do it all.
No, he had a protector.
Right.
See, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Cementhead.
Yeah.
Dave Semenko.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, Hull was, not Hull, Howe, could score goals, had more goals than anybody until Gretzky broke the record.
Well, Howe
but he was vicious.
More three-point games. The fight, what, the fighting,
yeah.
the scoring.
Oh, God, yeah. He was a tough guy. You did not want to end up in a corner with Gordie Howe.
You didn't want to run into one of his elbows.
Absolutely not. And I think Lemieux was sort of a combination of all those talents. Not a fighter, but huge.
He's
like
a big kid.
6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Great penalty killer. Great nose.
Now,
like
Crosby never lived up to that. They thought
still
he
still won three cups.
Yeah, they thought he would.
One more cups than Lemieux did. Lemieux only won two.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-7937. It is now 82 in hours and 30 minutes away, as my calculation.
I thought you were giving the temperature.
No, I'm giving the countdown. You know, sometimes on TV they have those countdown clocks? We're going to give you an audio countdown clock. It is 82 hours and 44 minutes away, Larry. 34 minutes away, my calculations are correct, till the puck dropping. In Boston, finally, game number one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now I don't hardly know her.
In the corner to Sanderson. Back in front door. Shot scores! Bobby Orr from Sanderson! And what could be better than that? As they beat St. Louis 4-3. Orr to Sanderson, back to Orr, and they go wild.
An unforgettable moment, not Tommy James and the Shondells, which was an unforgettable moment for me, my very first slow dance, but no, Bobby Orr, May 10th, 1970, we all know it well.
Was Carlton Fisk's home run up there? You said top five events.
In Boston?
Yeah.
I'd say as far as the impact is, because now here's the problem, and this is kind of an interesting, it's a really interesting comparison, because Fisk's was more dramatic. Like Bobby Orr, he broke a tie and won a game. The difference was, of course, that they still had to play a game seven. That only got them into game seven, which we all know in 1975, they lost. Okay? Bobby Orr's goal was not crucial or critical.
Didn't sweep the series.
Yeah, because they were sweeping the series anyway, and they probably would have won that game. Somebody else would have scored, and they probably would have won that game. If Fisk doesn't hit the home run, they go to an extra inning and probably could have lost.
What
to
about
Cincinnati
David Ortiz?
To me, that's bigger because they're down in that game. That was game two against Detroit. You're talking about 2013, ALCS. They're down in that game. They're about to go to Detroit down 0-2 after losing two games at Fenway Park. And, of course, they won the series. I would say, that's a really good point, I would say that Ortiz's grand slam against the Tigers in game two of the ALCS in 13 was bigger than both those moments.
David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Now, how about Havlicek stole the ball? Was that the Celtics' greatest moment?
No. I'll say this.
Why not?
This is really old-time radio today. We're going back. Hey, we're dusting off the archives here.
Fasten your seatbelt and hold on.
Yeah, we're in for a bumpy ride. I've always said this. Think about there are three great steals in Celtic history.
Okay? Oh, yeah. Henderson.
Havlicek, Henderson, and Burt.
Yeah.
Okay? I will make the point that the Henderson steal is bigger than the other two, and it's the least well-known.
Yeah.
Most people don't even remember it. It's game two of the 84 series. Lakers are up two. They take the ball out in the backcourt. Worthy throws a lazy pass. Henderson picks it off, hits the layup, easy layup. They go into overtime and win game two. If they lost that game, they're down 0-2 going to L.A.
Yeah.
Okay, Havlicek tipped the ball with a one-point lead.
Yeah.
They were leading in that game. And Bird...
But they were under Philadelphia basket, though.
Right. And the other one...
And Bird, you got a 7'2" monster.
But they're still leading.
There.
They're still leading in the series.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they're still... The game. Game 7 against the Sixers. Now, Bird steal. They're down one. Probably the greatest individual effort you're ever going to see. No one... The steal itself was amazing. And then, of course...
Well, that was a two-man
and then,
amazing.
And then DJ coming back.
Made it unbelievable.
And then hitting the reverse layup.
Yeah.
How to do that.
Yeah.
But they still lost that series.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. In 87, though, they didn't lose the series, but they lost against the Lakers in the final. They won the series, but they lost the Lakers.
Did the Patriots have one of those?
Yeah, I think it's called Vinatieri's 44-yard field goal.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And the one in the snow was...
That's what I'm saying. That's the 44. 45, actually.
I thought you meant the Super Bowl
game. No, well, the Super Bowl game, the 48 inside because the Patriots hadn't won. So I'd say the two Vinatieri field goals. And he also won the Super Bowl against Carolina.
But as far as individual plays, like...
Yeah. But I always said that Havlicek's steal, because it happened in 65 in the middle of their run, if he doesn't make that steal, who says the Sixers are going to score the game-winning shot?
Well, you got Chamberlain and
how many times did Wilt ever beat Russell? Once. Wilt beat Russell once in 67. That was it. So that's how I break it down. Anyway, Bruins are playing the 2019 Stanley Cup Final. And so are you telling me...
We're looking for a new highlight. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, but even in 2011, what's the highlight? What's the iconic Stanley Cup moment for the 2011 Stanley Cup champion Bruins? Maybe the Brad Marchand move off the boards.
Oh gosh,
was that game
sweet?
Was that game six
that was
or seven?
Vancouver
against
that
Vancouver.
Was,
that was game six, I believe.
Guys racing down the ice, defenseman back there to cover him. He hits the puck off the boards and gets it back himself.
And scores
behind the That had to be one of the prettiest goals I've ever seen.
I believe that was game number six, sending it back to Vancouver, and of course the Bruins just kicked major butt.
That was one of the that was one of the sweetest goals they've scored in their history, in my
Absolutely.
Opinion. Oh gosh, it was great.
Right. But a
he
lot of people forget
my
about
favorite
it.
Player after that.
The I can understand that.
Yeah.
No question about it. But most
well,
people
I like
forget
him
about
anyway,
that.
The little ball of hate.
Yeah. Well, because you like hate.
I do.
As much as you profess.
That's why I'm in here every
You profess
week.
To love Jesus, but you're really an Old Testament guy.
Yeah.
And God mostly hated his people.
Yeah.
he put them through all kinds of tests and trials.
They did go through a lot, I'm telling you.
Poor Job and Jonah and Abraham.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, God did not like his people at all.
He was trying to get them to repent and act right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let us go to the phones, and we're going to say hello to, I think, John, we have the same problem again.
Brad?
So would you hit up line number one for us, folks?
We got Brad on
hey,
the line.
It's Brad. Hey, Brad, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in real quick. First time, long time. Love you guys.
Thank
this
you.
Show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. And my concern is the same as yours. It feels like it's been an eternity since the Bruins have played. So, you know,
been.
We're all getting eager for the puck to drop. We're all worried about, you know, Tuukka. He was playing the best hockey of his life. He was standing on his head. Ray Bourque in an interview said, Tuukka's at the top of his game. So I'm worried about, you know, if you rest, you rust.
Got a 9.42 save percentage.
Yeah, and it's the classic dilemma, rest versus rust. I think rest after two or three days, that's appropriate. Rest does become rust. The E is replaced by the U when it becomes 11 days.
Very clever.
This is very clever. I did that right off the top of my head. I didn't prepare for this at all.
Hey, Brad, let me ask you this. I mean, I know this is in the middle of the playoffs, and we're giving them all the credit in the world. But do you like today's hockey as much as when it was played 25 years ago?
Well, I'm a relatively new fan. You know, I'm in my 30s. I really hopped on board, you know, when Thomas was bringing them to a cup last time. And I've been a Bruins fan ever since. But I'm a diehard fan now. And, you know, the game has changed. I mean, even in the last decade or, you know, from the game I remember as a kid, you know, when I was less involved, so to speak.
Right. But, no, and we talked about this, know, Brad. Brad, this just for a second. That was it's good observation. Is far less physical than it was even a decade ago. It was far less physical
exactly.
than the.
I mean, right. Olivia right. Newton-John would never be out there singing.
What a terrible reference that was.
No, it's not the big bad Bruins anymore. You know, the entire game has shifted to this very, you know, offensive driven. Very fast-paced game. And if I could say one more thing about that, I think that this rest is really, really good for our forward lines and our defensive pairs. I can't think of a guy that could benefit from this time off more than like Chara.
I was just going to say that.
We could get Wagner back. You know what I'm saying?
But talk about layoffs, Brad. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Chara's been off 13 days because remember, he didn't play in game six.
Right.
He was a scratch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been off forever.
Well, if anybody needed it,
42 years old.
It was him.
No, no question about it. But it gets to a point where I would say 4 or 5 days, that's rest. When you get to 11 days, there's no question about it. That becomes rust. Let us go to line number 2. Bob in Pembroke. You're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bob.
A couple of things. I think there's no question that Bobby Orr is the greatest hockey player that ever lived, in my opinion. I think the Bruins are more popular now, and a little slice of that may be, I think there's a growing appreciation of the NHL athlete compared to other athletes, harder working, tougher, more humble. And I'm hearing more and more people talk about that.
Yeah,
I tell you one thing, they're still more classy and polite.
Well, they're polite,
absolutely.
They're congenial, they're accessible. Yeah. You know, I've you know, known them over the year from a media standpoint, and they've always been the easiest guys to deal with as far as interviews
absolutely.
Are concerned. They're generous with their time. I think it's the Canadian culture. I think the Canadian culture
right.
prevails throughout the league and to a lesser extent the European. There is no diva mentality
right.
in the National
absolutely.
Hockey League. That's a very good point, Bob. Yep.
I think people love that.
Yep.
My last point is that, am I the only guy that always felt that their 1970 Stanley Cup was a little tarnished by the fact that they beat an expansion team? The only reason St. Louis was in that final was because that group of 6 new expansion teams were guaranteed a final playoff spot.
Right, and people forget that. We were talking about that at the top of the show, that St. Louis went to 3 straight because they were in an expansion conference. When they went from the original 6 to the 12, and they were the best of, I guess the other team, I don't know if you go back that far, Bob, the other good team I think were the Flyers maybe back?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was the Flyers.
Yeah.
But St. Louis always prevailed those first 3 years and got zipped by Montreal and the Bruins, and they lost 12 straight Stanley Cup Finals games.
I had always hoped that they played one of the original 6 in that year. They didn't, but that's the way it was. But I was
do you like
that one?
Yeah, that's a good point,
Bob.
Let
me ask you this. Do you like the alignment now? Where, Tampa
I don't think it's even an issue now.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you – I'm not taking away from St. Louis, but wouldn't you rather see Tampa or Toronto?
But not in the finals.
No,
you can't see them in the finals.
I'm kind of excited about the fact that it's St. Louis now. But anyway, hey, great. It's great to hear you guys. Have
thank you,
day.
Bob. Appreciate it. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Yeah, I mean, the Blues were the recipients of being in an expansion conference.
Sure.
And I can understand where beating the Blues was not as satisfying as, you know, knocking off a Montreal team, which they didn't do. Remember, in 70, they did not beat Montreal on the way to the Stanley Cup final. Mm. They didn't break through against the Canadiens till the 1980s. Remember, they lost what, like 24 straight Stanley Cup series to the to Montreal before they finally
How's
won.
How's Montreal doing now? They're not,
amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs again.
And they had Claude.
One of the things that hockey needs, and I think the Bruins need to a certain extent, the Canadiens have to be viable again. They have to be a rival because, as we well know, I know what they're trying to do when there's a bit
of
Well,
that's one of the problems with the NBA, if the truth be told. I mean, Toronto and Milwaukee, does that excite you?
Well, not from around here, no.
Yeah.
And I can tell you one thing, ABC/ESPN cannot be happy about Toronto closing out Milwaukee tonight. Milwaukee is a bad enough market. It's one of the smallest markets in the country, if not the smallest. But Toronto's not even measured. Toronto's not even in the U.S. market.
Yeah.
And their ratings are going to drop precipitously. No LeBron this year for the first time in eight years.
Toronto and Golden State?
Yeah. I mean, I think the interest in Golden State will come from the fact, I think people want to see, I'm doing this from a very personal perspective, I think people don't want to see Durant play, and they want to see if the Splash Brothers plus Green can get the job done without KD.
Durant's not a very popular superstar.
Not at all.
Really. People think that they hate LeBron. No, I think there are more supporters of LeBron than Durant.
You talk about, Bob was talking about how he liked the average NHL player. It's all about team first. I mean, KD, talk about the ultimate diva prima donna. They're all like that. LeBron, they're all like that. We know firsthand.
Look at Kyrie. Not as bad as Durant, though.
But there are no Kyries and LeBrons and KDs in the National Hockey League.
Not at all.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're back with more of your calls as we continue talking bees right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep and Havlicek steals it. Over the stands goal. Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. Danny Havlicek is being mauled by the fans. The Russell Wolf grabs Havlicek. He hugs him. He squeezes John Havlicek. The Celtics win it. 110 for 109.
1965, Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals.
See, I think Johnny Most also makes that. It was a combination. His call on that was just...
Well, it's Johnny Most.
I like when he says, Bill Russell squeezes John Havlicek. Yeah, I bet he did.
By the way, the call we heard earlier, the Orr goal, was the national broadcast of CBS, Dan Kelly. And the problem for Dan Kelly was, Kelly was employed in the Stanley Cup playoffs by CBS. He was the St. Louis Blues announcer. He did a nice job, but if you're the Blues announcer,
like
you couldn't
Yankee,
have loved that.
Like the Yankee announcer doing a national game in the Red Sox.
Well, you know, Tommy had that problem, and I remember talking about with Tommy. Remember Tommy was the CBS lead analyst in the 1980s?
Yeah.
And he had to pull his punches. Tommy's on the local broadcast, of course, being Tommy for all this stuff together.
I'm sorry, I'm on CBS.
Yeah, I'm on CBS. And I think he was restrained, and eventually he lost his job because the Celtic fans thought he was bending over backwards to be neutral, where the Lakers fans said, this guy's so obviously biased, he couldn't win for losing, so they finally had to go in another direction. That was a difficult thing. But Dan Kelly did a good job, even though he was the Blues announcer. 617.
You know who was good on his first year was Russell. Was fantastic. The
first couple of years was fantastic.
And then he just didn't care.
Well, you know why? Because in his first couple of years, he still knew the league.
Yeah.
But once he had to do his own, have to do his homework, he wasn't very good. And remember, he was good up until he left. He left to go coach Seattle. Remember that? He wanted to coach Seattle. I guess he had a nice deal as the coach and GM. Then he came back in the late 70s, was not the same. He was funny. He was refreshing. He was the first.
He was insightful. He really was.
And he was honest as the day is long. And I remember poor Chris Schenkel, who was the ultimate milquetoast announcer, having to deal with Bill Russell, who just told it like it was. And he was funny. You know, and it's funny you should mention, we're talking about Willis Reed's
comeback.
That was Bill Russell called that game.
Yeah.
That was his first year in retirement. That was the Knicks won. Suddenly they were the NBA champions. Why? Because Bill Russell retired the summer before.
Paul Pierce coming out in the wheelchair.
Oh, please.
While leaving in the wheelchair.
Please. 617-779-7937. We'll go to Terry in South Yarmouth, who's next on Sports Radio WEEI. What's going on,
Terry?
Hi, Craig and Larry. You know, you were talking about that famous goal against St. Louis, but I thought was a more significant goal was a couple of years later against the Flyers when they were in game one, they locked in a 2-2 tie, and Bobby Clark almost won the game with about a minute left. And then with about 20 seconds left, Orr scored the winner. And at that moment, it looked like they were going to win again.
Yeah, but they didn't, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. Yep. The Flyers had, I think, five ex-Bruins on that team.
Really?
Including McLeish and I think Reggie Leach. And the Bruins, it was so good in those days, they traded those players away.
Yeah, I look at that whole era as I'm glad they won two, but they probably, with all that talent, should have won more. Don't you think, Terry?
In 69, they lost to the Canadians. I remember watching that series in grammar school. They lost three games in overtime, and all three games they were ahead late. And John Béliveau was the guy that would kill them all the time.
Too many men on the ice.
Well, that's 79. Yeah. I know. 10 years later. Yeah. Yep. Very good.
That was something. They should have won six.
So let me ask you this, Terry. As a longtime Bruins observer, do these teams captivate you the same way as they did 50 years ago?
Well, I'm obviously rooting for the Bruins, but I'm caught up in the St. Louis story because they got Gloria, that old song, and also there's a little kid who has a life-threatening illness, and she's a big fan, and they're really playing for her, you know, and it's a terrific story. And, you know, obviously I'm rooting for the Bruins. The Bruins won, it's okay because of that. You know, it's really something that I saw some of the interviews with her, with the players or we're talking to her, and they say that she's really an inspiration for them to go ahead and, you know, to reach this point in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, so, it's going to be a fascinating story, Terry. Appreciate the call. Hour number one is in the books. That was a quick one. More of your telephone calls coming up. It is now 82 hours and 5 minutes away from the puck dropping game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.